Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay. I'd like to say, first of all, before I get into the word here today, that Brother Rich has been teaching on Psalm 46 in the back in the Sunday school class. And when you all don't come into Sunday school, you miss a lot of good things. And I mean, you know, I can't emphasize that too much, but I'm just going to tell you, you miss a lot of things. He's been speaking on various things of Psalm 46, and he got into a little bit of talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. And I'm going to talk to you this morning about the Feast of Tabernacles, and I'm going to talk to you in the vein that God showed me to talk to you about it. And you know, I would suggest that you get those Sunday school tapes and listen to them. It's been about the last 3 or 4 weeks, and that you listen to them, and they'll bless you. If you got a computer at home, just go on www.wingscf.com, and you can listen to any of the messages there or any of the Sunday school class there. And I would suggest that you do it, because I think you'll be blessed, and you'll gain some insight and some understanding there. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to pray for the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you know that I have no abilities other than what you give me. And Father, I just ask you to pour yourself through me this morning. Help me to bring this word that you've laid on my heart, to bring it in simplicity and bring it in a way that your people might have ears to hear what your Spirit would speak to them today. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. Help us to even understand where we're at and what's happening with us, where we're at right now. And Father, in Jesus' name, we'll be most careful to give you all praise, all glory, all honor for everything you do. For Father, we can do nothing without you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to start off by telling you that in the Scripture, there is 3 feasts that are mentioned very prominently. And I'm not going to go into them very much. I'm just going to tell you, in the Old Testament, there was the Feast of Passover. And when Jesus was crucified on Calvary, he fulfilled that Feast of Passover. And the church world out there is operating in one of these 3 feasts that I'm going to talk to you about today. The Feast of Passover, that took place, what would have been considered in the outer court. There was also in the temple realm out there, or in the tabernacle in the wilderness, there was 3 courts. There was the outer court, the inner court, which was the holy place, and then there was the Holy of Holies, which was the very presence of God. And only the high priest could enter in there once a year. And the outer court, anybody could go there. And that's basic salvation. And I want you to understand that we all have to pass through these courts. We have to pass through basic salvation, where we confess the Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrifice that he made for us, the blood that cleanses us, the blood that covers us, which is his life. And then on that second is the Passover, is the Feast of Pentecost. And in Pentecost, that was when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came, and that's what begins to elevate you up into the realm of a priestly realm there. And that's when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You begin to start moving in the gifts of the Spirit. It's a wonderful realm, wonderful realm. But there's more. And a lot of the church folks out there today, they'll go through the first realm, and there's nothing wrong with the first realm. If that's where God's got you, wonderful. That's a great realm. Learn all there is to learn about his forgiveness, his sin offering for you, his cleansing power, all of those things. It's wonderful, wonderful. And the realm of the Pentecostal realm, that's a wonderful realm too. Because boy, when the Holy Spirit comes in like a flood on you and begins to release you into the gifts of the Spirit, you begin to speak with languages that you don't know and praise God in ways that you didn't in the past and all that, that's a wonderful thing too. But I tell you, there was also that other realm, that realm of going into the Holy of Holies. And what I'm going to talk to you today, I'm not going to talk to you too much about the temple of old, but I'm going to talk to you about the Feast of Tabernacles. And that was the third feast that was given. And a lot of people tend to think that these feasts were time. They were realms of time. But I'm going to tell you, they're not realms of time. They're realms of experience. And God wants you to begin to experience all of these. And you're going to find as we look into this Feast of Tabernacles that this was for everybody. This wasn't for just the priest. This wasn't for just, the ones in the outer court. This was for everybody. Anybody that all of Israel was to do this. And I'm going to start off and I'm going to read a little bit to you. And the Feast of Tabernacles was also called the Feast of Ingathering. And it's the third of the great feasts of Hebrew, and it lasted 7 days. And I'm going to tell you that seven is the number for perfection. It's the number for God. And, God wants us to enter into a place of coming into His perfection, coming into growing up into the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. He wants us to come to a place to where when people look at you and see you, they no longer see you, they begin to see His Son. And they begin to see that anointing and that presence of God inside of you. And in the Feast of Ingathering, it was kind of a personal place. And in the Old Testament, as they were going through the wilderness, they were to build these booths individually. And when they built these booths, they were to get alone with God. And it was just them and God in these tabernacles. And, if you'd have been in Sunday school this morning, you'd have noted that in part of Psalm 46 that we discussed this morning, we talked about being still and knowing that I'm God. And I'm going to tell you, the Feast of Tabernacles is all about being still and knowing that He's God. It's all about you and Him. And boy, I'm telling you, there's something beyond that, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that once I go through this here. But I want you to know that that's a wonderful place. And sometimes a lot of you all sitting out there have been going through things to where you've said, God, where are you in this? What is happening with me in this thing? Why, some of you all have had situations where you've had medical things happen to you. You've had job situations. You've had all kind of situations to where your head has been reeling for a while and you've been saying, Lord, what in the world is going on here? And I'm going to tell you what, if you haven't been there, wait, you will be. You will be. I guarantee you, you will be, because God's going to move you into that. But, and you might not like me saying that, but I just want you to know you will be there. It's going to happen because, like I told you, this feast was for everybody. It wasn't for just a priest. It wasn't for just specific people. It was for everybody. Now, the difference is, the quicker you come to the knowledge that you begin to acknowledge God in the middle of the situation, whatever He puts you in, the quicker that you'll start getting what you're supposed to get in the middle of that situation, rather than blaming the devil or blaming your boss or blaming the financial system or blaming the president or blaming this or that or something else, and realizing that God's in control of it all. Okay. Now, I'm going to read to you a little bit out of Nehemiah. In Nehemiah 8:18, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about that. During the 7 days, the Israelites were commanded to dwell in booths or husks formed of burrows of trees. The burrows were of the olive, the palm, the pine, and the myrtle, and the other trees with thick foliage. They don't mention the other ones, so I figure the other ones aren't very important. How many know that when God tells you something and He puts it in His Word, it's important? Yes. And we need to start saying, Lord, what are You trying to say to me? What are You telling me? Because I'm going to tell you, He's always telling you something. But a lot of times We have to pray, God, give me ears to hear what your Spirit would say to me. And and anyway, I'm going to go ahead and read a little farther. It says, and this is in Nehemiah 8, 14 and 18. I'm doing this because this tells you what the booths were made out of, or the tabernacles that they made. And it says, and they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. That's the Feast of Tabernacles. And that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches, pine branches, and olive branches, pine branches, myrtle, and he also told them, I'm missing it here, but anyway, he had them go forth and he had them get those things. Now, like I say, when I read things in the Scripture, I begin to say to the Lord, Lord, what do these things mean? And a lot of times, this is a lot of people in this assembly, and I know, you know, Mark and Joey and a lot of different ones of us have went through things where you just basically, your head's reeling at times, and you say, God, what is happening? I went through a few things in the past couple years where I began to say, Lord, what's happening? I mean, we go to start to build a new church, and people get mad, and they start leaving, and they start doing this, and all kind of different things going on. And you know, there's times when I spent many a night sitting up just saying, Lord, what in the world's going on? What's happening? And you know what? We all do that at times. We all have those situations. But I'm going to tell you, when he told them to first of all, to get the olive branches, I'm going to tell you, right in the middle of whatever situation that God has got you in, the word for olive branches there literally means illuminating oil. And I'm going to tell you, right in the middle of whatever bad situation you think you're going through or whatever's happening. I mean, I look at Parker with what was going on with him with his surgery and different things. And boy, he said he began to cry out to the Lord in that situation when he shared his testimony. You know, I know I've prayed for Parker a lot of times during that situation, and I think we all did. You know, we see what's going on with Josh, with Clyde and his family and all these different things that are happening. But I'm going to tell you what, if we'll acknowledge God right in that situation, get quiet and still, get alone with God, you'll find that his illuminating oil all of a sudden will begin to break in on you. The next one was pine branches. And that actually means, especially as a liquid from olive, often perfumed, it means figuratively richness, and it means anointing. I'm going to tell you what, right in the middle of those situations, if you'll acknowledge God, a new and a fresh anointing will begin to start coming into your life. And you're saying, but you can't be saying, oh God, poor me, poor me, poor me. You got to be saying, God, I acknowledge you. God, I trust you. God, I'm hoping in you. God, I'm going to be still and know that you're God in this situation. It means the fat things. It means fruitful oil. It means ointment. And then and it means olive plus pine. And the next one was myrtle branches. And you know, I looked at the myrtle branches, and it's a word that it's a myrtus. It comes from a cumulus. It's a kind denoted by the Hebrew word. It's a shrub of a low tree, sometimes 10 feet high, with green shiny leaves and snow-white flowers bordered with purple. And listen to this, which emits a perfume more exquisite than that of the rose. Wow. When he's got you in those situations, if you acknowledge him, if you trust him, if you look to him, you're going to find that in your life, all of a sudden, there's going to be a perfume emitted. And it's going to be more exquisite than that of the rose. Let me tell you what, folks, what is Jesus called? Isn't he called the Rose of Sharon? Whoa. Didn't he say, these works that I do shall you do, and greater works than these? Oh, my. Think about that one. more exquisite than that of the rose. What a beautiful fragrance the presence of Jesus is. But I'm going to tell you what a greater fragrance it's going to be when that many-member body begins to grow up and acknowledge Him in all their ways and begins to show forth the glory of God in the earth. It's going to be so much greater even than what Jesus did when He first came. It was one Jesus. It's going to be a many-member body. Creation is groaning and travailing. They're dying to see that. They're on tiptoe. They can't. They know they're looking for something, but they're looking forward in a president. They're looking forward in a financial advisor. They're looking forward in cars and houses and everything else. But guess what? They're not going to find it there. They're only going to find it as God's children, His sons, begin to grow up and begin to set creation free. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something else. And the seeds of that plant, myrtle, when they're dried and are ripe, they form allspice. And I'm going to tell you what, even the seeds of that fragrance, when you crush them up and begin to put them into things, it forms allspice. You know, I don't know about you all, but I like to eat food. And Margaret always tells me, you put too much salt, you put too much pepper, you put too much, you know, because I like that stuff. I like the seasoning. I like the spices. I like to put those things because that's what gives whatever you're eating flavor. And I got news for you. As God begins to break the crush and crush the seeds in your life that He begins to bring forth, that's the thing that's going to bring, it's going to make you tasty to the world. Because I tell you what, unless you've been where they're at, they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to listen to you. That's why sometimes we wonder why the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed, not to us, but in us. And I got news for you. There's going to come a time when you're going to have the spice to begin to season their life. You're going to have the spice to begin to make their life have a meaning and have a purpose where they actually realize what's going on. And the last one, which I didn't read you before, was palm branches. And I don't know if you all have done much studying. I know a lot of you have, and some of you probably haven't done much studying in the Old Testament. But when they built the temple, one of the things that they had engraved upon the walls was palm trees, palm leaves. And, you know, there's a passage in Revelations 7:9 where the glorified of all the nations are described as clothed in white robes with palms in their hands. And palms has a part of the meaning. It's a purely classical image, but palm branches were used by the Jews of a token of victory and of peace. And I want you to know, if you were in the desert and you didn't have any water or anything, one of the first things that you started looking for was a palm tree, because that meant there was an oasis there. That meant there was a water of life there. That meant that you were not going to die of thirst. And I got news for you too. They say that a palm tree, that in the Arab countries, a palm tree basically has all of the things that they need for life. It actually has fruit. You can tap into the sap of a palm, and it makes some kind of wine and all different kind of things. And I was reading all the different things that they do with a palm tree, and they said it literally is what the Arabs like. It's what they look for to sustain them, you know, a lot of times. But I want you to know that when we get into the presence of God and we begin to acknowledge Him right in the middle of all of the situations that are going on, and you feel like you're so alone, and you feel like, Lord, what in the world is going on here? Then instead of griping and complaining and moaning and groaning, start beginning to thank him, to praise him, to enter his courts with thanksgiving in your heart. And I'm going to tell you what, the children of Israel stayed out there for 7 days. 7 days. And it was them and God alone. And I'm going to read you a little bit more here. It says, so the people went forth and brought with them and made booths, every one. And this is out of Nehemiah, upon the roof of his house, and in the courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the streets of the water gate, and in the streets of the gate of Ephraim. Let me tell you what. I believe that if you know the Lord, so to speak, your booth should be pitched right in the middle of the water gate, because he's the water of life. And you know that he's the source of all life. And I got news for you. It'll also be pitched in the gate of Ephraim. Ephraim literally means dual-fruited or double portion. And so many times when you're in a situation to where you're saying, oh God, oh God, oh God, I want you to know that if you'll just begin to acknowledge him, begin to get quiet and still in his presence. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes when you get quiet and still in the presence of God, you don't always hear the voice, but your spirit man hears it, whether you hear it naturally or not. I'm going to tell you, some of the things that I've shared with you guys over the years, I believe God showed them to me 45 years ago. 45 years ago. When I was a very young Christian, would sit down with my Bible and would read things, and would say, Lord, I don't know what in the world I just read. I don't know. Lord, you have to teach me. You have to lead me. You have to guide me. And I would sit there, and I would stick my finger in the page and close the Bible and just sit there before the Lord, quiet and still, and not say anything. Sometimes I'm sure Margaret probably thought I was sleeping. I think she got mad at me for a while there when I first got saved. I didn't know if we was going to stay married, because God had me doing that all the time. And I'm going to tell you what, he opened up things to me that he's still unfolding them today. He's still unfolding them. And it's all about him. It's not about me. And it's a lot of the stuff I've told you guys over the years, it ain't because Oscar's smart. It ain't because Oscar's such a scholar or anything else. It's just simply because I sat before the Lord and I got quiet and still. And whether I knew it or not, I was sitting in the booths with God in the Feast of Tabernacles. And I'm going to tell you what, it's not a day that we're waiting for. You read some things that people are saying, can't wait till the day of Feast of Tabernacles comes. I got news for you. The Feast of Tabernacles is here. It's now. It's any time that you're willing to get quiet and still and sit before the Lord and begin to sit in his presence spiritually for those 7 days. Don't mean seven literal days. It could be 7 days. He might have you do that for 7 weeks. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you what, when you do that, you're going to find that he's going to begin to give you illuminating oil. He's going to begin to anoint you anew and afresh. He's going to begin to give you a greater fruit in your life. He's going to begin to give you the fragrance of that myrtle tree, that fragrance that when you walk into the room, somebody, they're not going to know why, but you're going to find people's eyes looking at you, and they're not even know why they're looking at you, and it won't be because you're so cute. It'll be because his presence. You know, when Jesus walked into the room and walked into a town, Scripture says it was rumored that he was there. It was rumored. How did it get rumored? How did they know he was there? He didn't come in with a big fanfare. He didn't go on TV and say, I'm having a revival down here or down there or whatever. His presence, that glory, when he walked into a place, it was evident that he was there. And the rumors began to flow. Hey, something's happening over here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And I got news for you. When that fragrance of God begins to flow out of us, when we begin to get quiet and still and sit before him and let his presence emanate in us, and he begins to illuminate us, and he begins to anoint us, and he begins to cause us to become that fragrance, which is Him. Then we're going to begin to find out that also people are going to look to you for life. I went to Frisch's the other day, and I was sitting in there, and I can't remember why I don't think Margaret was with me right at that point. This guy was sitting next to me. She might have went to the bathroom. This guy sitting next to me, he started telling me his life story. I didn't say a word to this guy. I just sat there and listened. He starts telling me his life story, everything that happened to him and everything that was going on and all this stuff. And I mean, this wasn't some guy that was nuts. This was an older gentleman, and he just started, and I thought, Lord, praise God. You know, and I just thought, well, Lord, you know, this is you. It's not me. And I'm going to tell you what, we need to believe that God's going to start doing that more and more with us. And you don't have to go out with an agenda of that, well, bless God, I'm going to go out and witness 15 people today. Just go out acknowledging God, loving Him, being still and knowing that He's God. And I'll tell you what, if He sends somebody your way, speak only that which you feel like He has you speak, and you watch and see if lives don't get changed. You watch and see if people don't get set free. They will. But I'm telling you what, this thing is not going to happen with a lot of fanfare like everybody thinks. I don't think it is. I think it's going to happen with a people just beginning to move and flow so in unison with Him and so aware of His presence, that when they become aware of His presence, guess what? Everybody else will begin to be aware of His presence too. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to read you a little bit more of this. It says, and all the congregation of them that came out of captivity made booths and sat under the booths, for since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun. And you know what? We know who the real Joshua was. It was Jesus. I love that they called Joshua, because originally his name wasn't Joshua, I don't think. I think they kind of changed it as it went along. Joshua means God the Savior, and he was the son of Nun. And guess what? Jesus, the Hebrew name for Jesus is Yahshua, God the Savior. Unto the days, they that not the children of Israel had done so, and there was great gladness. Also, day by day, from the first day unto the last, he read the book of the law of God, and they kept the fast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. Now, I'm going to tell you, I think sometimes that we're different folks are in this seventh day. Now, a lot of people would disagree with that, but we're about ready to get to start the eighth day. And I think the eighth day is going to be a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. I mean, I can't tell you how wonderful I think it's going to be. It's going to be just unbelievably wonderful. And I'm going to read you what took place on the eighth day after the Feast of Tabernacles was over with. And there was two particulars in the observance of the Feast of Tabernacles which appear to be referred to in the New Testament but are not noticed in the Old Testament. These were the ceremony of the pouring out of the water of Siloam and the display of some great lights in the court of women. Now, I'm going to tell you, when Scripture talks about women, I'm going to give you the spiritual definition of that. It's talking about in the courts of the soul. And you know what? The light of God is going to have to break loose into the courts of the soul, of your soul and in everybody's soul out there, you know. And it says, and we are told that each Israelite in holiday attire, having made up his lob, and that's what they called the little tabernacle that they made, before he broke his fast, he repaired to the temple. That means he hurried up to the temple with his lob in one hand and a citron in the other. And at the time of the ordinary morning sacrifice, the parts of the victim that were to be laid upon the altar, the priest fetched some water in a golden ewe from the pool of Siloam, which he brought into the court through the water gate. And he entered, the trumpet sounded, and he ascended the slope of the altar. And at the top of this were fixed two silver basins. My goodness, you know what silver talks about, don't you? It talks about redemption, total redemption. Two silver basins with small openings at the bottom. At the bottom, wine was poured into the one on the eastern side, and water was poured into the one on the western side. Where does the sun rise? In the east. Where does it set? In the west. I got news for you, folks. We're in the time of the west. We're in the time of the setting of the sun in the spiritual realms. And I'm going to tell you what. God has been pouring the water of the word into you and pouring it into you and pouring it into you and pouring it into you. And it's going to be about time for you to begin to pour it back out. And the high priest, which is literally Jesus, he's going to start pouring in the wine. And you're going to start pouring in the water. And then what's going to happen is it's going to trickle down. And all of the people who were in the Feast of Tabernacles, who were in those positions of just no telling what was going on in their lives and whatever, they're going to begin to catch that water in that citron that they had. And I'm going to tell you what, they're going to drink of that water. And it's going to be like no water they've ever drank before. It's going to be like no wine they've ever tasted before. It's going to be the fulfillment of what happened with Jesus at marriage feast of Cana, when he turned the water into wine. And the governor of the feast said, "Oh my, you've saved the best for last." And I got news for you, folks. The best for last is about ready to come. And it's about ready to come when we get into a position where we begin to go into the temple with thanksgiving, with praise, with adoration of the Lord. When we get quiet and still before Him, when we sit before Him and we know that He's God in all situations, in all circumstances, and quit worrying about political things, quit worrying about the economy, quit worrying about all this other stuff that beats us to death half the time, worrying about what we're going to do when we retire, what we're going to do next month, or how we're going to do this, or how we're going to do that, and start just acknowledging God every day and trusting in Him. You know, Jesus one time, he came across the tax collectors. And you know, they told Jesus, they said, "Hey, the tax collectors are here to get money." And he said, "Well, go over and go fishing." And he went over and went fishing. And he said, "When you pull the fish out, take a coin out of his mouth and give him the money." What? I got news for you. You don't have to worry financially. You don't have to worry politically. You don't have to worry about any of these things. What you need to do is just trust the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, Christian folks spend a lot of time worrying about whether they're a Democrat or they're a Republican or they're an independent or they're this or they're that. You ever throw all that stuff in the garbage and just start just loving God, knowing He's in control, knowing that He is the ruler of the universe. Nothing can happen in this world unless He allows it to happen. But I'm going to tell you something else. There's going to come a time when He's going to begin to speak to us. Like it says in Psalm, I think it's Psalm 82, where He says, "I have said you are gods and you're children of the Most High." He said, "But you die like men." Why? Because we don't acknowledge Him in our midst. You know, Scripture says that each seed after its own kind. When you were born again, you were born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. I can take an apple seed and I can take it out there and plant it. And I can say, you know what? I'm going to get a pine tree. I'm going to get a pine tree. I'm going to get a pine tree. But you know what's going to come up? An apple tree. I don't care how long I call it a pine tree. It'll never be a pine tree. I got news for you. I don't care how long you call yourself Adam, you're no longer Adam. You've been born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. You are a son of God. You have to begin to believe you're a son of God. Until you do, you're going to keep looking for a pine tree out there, and there's going to be an apple tree. And I got news for you. It's time for us to begin to realize we are what God says we are, not what our situations and our circumstances say. We're more than conquerors. We're able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us within. We're kings and priests unto God. We're a holy nation. We're a royal generation. We're all of those things. Why? Because he said so. And if he said so, guess what? It's so. Oh, praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm going to read you this last verse here. I didn't read you all of this, but you know, there was also four lights that were put in the in that area where the high priest went up. Four is the number for the world. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. But he also said, now you're the light of the world. He's the light that lights every man that comes into the world. You're the light of the world. Go forth and let that light shine. Go forth and begin to believe that his light is in you and that it will dispel the darkness even in other people's lives. You don't always have to say anything to anybody. But I'm going to tell you what. When you see somebody that's in a bad situation, get quiet and still. Go off to yourself and pray for that person. If God tells you to say something to them, say it. But begin to minister a word of life. Begin to let the light shine in you, and it will dispel the darkness in them. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times we turn our back on things and we don't do what God tells us to do. And I love what the brother said even about the Muslim. The Muslim saying, why didn't somebody tell me? You know what? I guarantee you God sent a lot of people that brother's way that could have told him about Jesus. But I'll also tell you this. He might not have been ready to hear it until the time that God was ready for him to hear it. So you got to balance it out there. But I will tell you, be obedient. Do what God tells you. We're gonna sing a song here, and we used to sing a song, and we're gonna do this when we close. But in a few minutes, and it's called. And I think you all remember when I tell you the words: "Shut in with God in the secret place." And you know, he that abides in the secret place of the Almighty, you're gonna abide under the shadow of His wings. And you know, there's nothing can touch your life unless God allows it. Nothing. And I'm going to tell you, he might have you out in the desert. He might have you in a Feast of Tabernacles, so to speak, where it's just you and him. And sometimes it has to be just you and him. And I know sometimes you might sit back and say, oh, Brother Oscar, why didn't somebody come and give me a word? Why didn't somebody do this? Why? You know what? A lot of times God's saying, be still and know that I'm God. It's not in all these other things. You need to know me individually and personally. In Revelation 21:3, he says, the tabernacle of God is with men. It's with men. He doesn't say it's going to be with men. He says it's with men. I'm going to share a poem that the Lord gave me a while back, and then we're going to try to sing that song. I might get you, Sherry. I think you remember that song. Well, I'm putting you to work, Sherry. You remember that song? Shut in with God in the secret place, there by His Spirit beholding His face, gaining more power to run in the race. How long to be shut in with God? Wow. That's good. You can't get no better than that. This is a poem the Lord gave me a while back. I don't know if I've shared this poem. I don't think I have with anybody. And it goes like this: I'm calling you up into a place you've not known, where the secrets of my will soon be shown. The hour is calling for you to lay down your life, the heartaches, the problems, the struggle, the strife. If you'll follow on to know me in the fullness of my will, I'll take off the limitations as you get quiet and still, and show you plainly of the Father in me, which will cause you to change and cause you to be a reflection of the Father and of the Son. For creation cannot be set free until we are one. For only as you see me as I am, can I bring forth the fullness of my plan. Wow. What a tremendous word that is. And I tell you what, we need to get quiet and still before God. Praise the Lord. How about Sherry? Can you come up and sing this? Sherry, you better start telling me you got some songs because I'm going to make you come up and sing anyway. Praise the Lord. Praise God.
It's just because I'm old and I know the old.
No. With God in the secret place,
there by His Spirit I'm beholding His face, gaining new power to run in this race. How I long to be shut in with God.
You can stand and sing it with me.
Shut in with God in a secret place. There by His Spirit I'm beholding His face. Gaining new power to run in this race. How I long to be shut in with God.
As I was singing that, if you listen to that, we do need to get alone and get shut in to get the power to run the race.
Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. If anybody wants prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. But won't we just offer a sacrifice of praise to the Lord for just a few minutes? And, you know, and some of you all have a hard time just raising your hands and praising God. I tell you what, if a robber come up and stuck a gun in your back and said, hey, I'd throw my hands up real quick. You know, I would. And you know what? That's just a sign of surrender. That's just a sign of that you're surrendering to the Lord. We want to surrender to Him. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for Your words, for their truly spirit and life. I thank You for Your people, Father, because it's a great and a mighty people, such as never has been on the face of the earth before. It's a mighty army, Father, and You're about to loose them into the earth, Father. And I just thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do. I thank You, Lord, and I give You all praise, all glory, and all honor. And I just ask You to just so empower Your people and so cause them to get quiet and still and even to sit with You, Lord. And Lord, just let Your illuminating oil, Your double portion fruited oil, Your life, Your fragrance, just begin to flow into their lives, Father, that creation might begin to see the sons of God come forth, that they might be set free into that glorious liberty of being the children of God also. I thank You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If anybody like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. Praise God.